As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
And the sun is a-shining and a-rising, folks. It's time once again for a show-me showdown. We got breakfast on the table, coffee brewing on the stove, and there's a revolution in the air. You can be a part of it. Welcome to our Monday, May the 18th, 2009, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local, coming to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. Hope you had a wonderful weekend. I did. Very relaxing. Lots of reading done. You can hear us every day on the oraclebroadcasting.com is the website. I've got a little website you might want to visit also, vocallocal.org, ozarksvoter.info, and you may also want to check out freedomadvocates.org. My name is William Roberts. I hope to have some good news for you today, some hard facts for sure, and possibly we might even advance some workable solutions before the end of this two-hour broadcast. If you can't remember the last time you experienced the pursuit of happiness, then you're definitely in the right place at the right time to become vocal local. This is the home of philosophical radicalism, where freedom is popular and remains the best hope for America. Interactive talk radio is the name of the game, and to be a part of today's broadcast, you can sign in, pick a name, and become vocal local in the oraclebroadcasting.com chat room, or pick up the telephone and call throughout the broadcast. For those without unlimited long distance or in the Austin, Texas area, you may call 512-904-8014 to join me live on air. And from around America and around the world, you can call in toll free at 866-841-1065, and of course your calls are welcome. You may also send your ideas for guests, show topics, and news to me via email at host@vocallocal.org. and for those without internet access listening via any of our affiliate stations and micro broadcasters, you too can be a part of it. Send your letters to me at William Roberts, P.O. Box 96, out of Exeter, Missouri. That's 65647. Big shout out to Liberty Radio in Owensville, Missouri, Micro 1650 AM, Buffalo, New York, and 94.3 Elgin, Texas. Thank you, gentlemen, for broadcasting Become Vocal Local. Again, our websites are vocallocal.org, ozarksvoter.info. The listener call-in number remains 866-841-1065, and the Oracle chat room is open. Gold tests the $930 level in early morning trading. Crude oil is up, and the dollar's heading south. Anarchism, the overview continues today, continuing again from the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences and other sources. You won't want to miss a moment of that. Of course, we'll take your calls and much, much more. Let's go to those market reports for Monday, May the 18th, 2009. Active trading in New York City as of 9 o'clock a.m. Eastern Standard Time. Gold was trading off $1.70 at $929.70 for a troy ounce of that precious metal. The silver was off 12 cents, down at $13.83. Been hovering right there near the $14 mark for some time. That's a good sign for silver. Platinum up $5, trading $1,106 this morning. Palladium up a buck so far in the day's trading at $224. The Dow Jones Industrial Average closed on Friday down 63 points to 8269. The NASDAQ was off 9 points, trading 1680. The S&P was off 10 points as well, down at 883. So all the stocks closed down on Friday. We'll see where they go today when they open up. Crude oil, the big talk of the day, up another $1.39, trading at $57.73. And, of course, that impacts and relates to the U.S. dollar, the decline of the dollar, off again, down 24 more basis points, trading at 82.87. The lows and the highs in the gold spot market, 926.30 for a low, 934.60 for a high, for a year-on-year rate, a gain of $27.60, or a 3.05% return on your investment. Or our London Gold Cartel fixed the gold at $925.75 in their morning fixing, and that's probably where it'll close. Anyway, we'll be back again shortly. Stay with us.
A the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring the freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.org/broadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And welcome back to our Monday, May the 18th, two-hour broadcast of Become Vocal Local. We come to you Monday through Friday right here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network. The website is oraclebroadcasting.com. Again, my name is William Roberts. Going through the market reports in the opening segment of today's broadcast, and we find that gold was off $1.70, trading at $929.70. And curiously enough, the London gold fix in this for this morning was $929.75. So you can see that the gold cartel had the right idea, or at least the gold market is following what they set it at. It's within 5 cents, folks. So I don't know. We follow these numbers on a regular basis, but there are many hands, unseen hands, if you will, in the market. Let's go to the foreign exchange and rates and close out the market report for today. The Canadian dollar up a little bit today, trading still at 86 cents U.S. The Mexican peso up a tiny fraction, trading at 8 cents. You can fill up your pockets with pesos for 8 cents apiece. The euro, of course, you have to dig a little deeper for that. It's $1.35 U.S., and it's down just a tad today, but only just a tad. You know, you can use these multipliers. It's 0.7416 is the multiplier for today on the U.S. dollar. And if you do the math on that, you'll see that at $1.35, times 0.7416 will bring you right up to this 82-87 point. So that's the way that works. And so when we say that it's up and down, we're talking about several decimal points after to the right of the zero, if you will. Tiny little fragments. The British pound up a fraction again, $1.53, and the Swiss franc trades at 89 cents. And so that's that basket of currencies, the little basket of currencies that Timothy Geithner and Benjamin Bernanke have in mind for the rest of us to try and climb into somehow. A little bit of news, not a lot of news today. I'm not going to cover very much news. We've got too much material to cover in regards to our continuing study of anarchism to waste too much time on this news, but I'll give you a little bit. This out of Market Watch, the Washington events calendar, to give you some idea, some of the highlights of what's coming up this week. We'll see how each of these various calendar items will then translate into news articles, and everyone will be talking about it. Monday, the May the 18th, again, this is the Washington events calendar. The time is still yet to be announced, but Barry the Usurper is going to meet with his good buddy, his bosom buddy, Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu at the White House. So I'm sure there will be matzo balls and little cookies with Mogan David, decorated cookies, and maybe Barry's going to be stepping and fetching in a white jacket for the Prime Minister, just like Jorge Bush did, serving cookies and things like that. Well, we'll see. Anyway, there'll probably be something up on YouTube before the night is over. 1 o'clock p.m., the National Association of Home Builders is going to release its Home Builders Index for May. We can watch for that. At 1 o'clock p.m. also, the House Energy Committee begins a debate on the energy bill. Not a lot of debate on the energy bill, really. I don't know where that debate's going to go, but I'm sure we'll hear some news from that. On Tuesday, tomorrow, at 8:30 a.m., the housing starts and the building permits for April are going to come out of the Commerce Department. You can be sure that there will be some news there. At 10 o'clock, they're going to have a hearing on competition from foreign manufacturing and how to hold foreign producers accountable. How to hold foreign producers accountable. You would think that maybe we could have some hearings at the Senate Judiciary Committee on administrative oversight in the courts to find out how to hold our local elected officials accountable, or how to hold the Federal Reserve accountable. But no, they're going to hold foreign producers accountable. Anywho, hearing 10 o'clock a.m., there's also going to be a hearing on safeguards that are imposed on funding for third world countries to prevent international corruption. Oh, my God. As trillions run missing and the SEC can't quite figure out where they went, we're going to have hearings to prevent international corruption in the third world countries. Why are we giving them any money in the first place? That's my question. They can be as corrupt as they want to be, but not on my dime, right? Okay, at 1 o'clock p.m., Barry the Usurper attends the first quarterly meeting of the Presidential Economic Recovery Advisory Board at the White House. So we'll see whether or not his board here, his little Soviet council, can give him any clairvoyant advice on economic recovery. We'll have to wait and hear on that one. 2 o'clock p.m., you know, that's the problem with the morning show. We'll find out about all this sort of stuff, but none of this news is going to be reported until later, so everybody else is going to get the scoop. So I just kind of, if it breaks, if Godzilla is marching through St. Louis, I'll be able to let you know that he's swinging from the Golden Arch, okay? Anyway, but other than that, we just kind of have to set the pace. Hearing on the approaches to improving credit rating agency regulation, that's going to be the House Financial Service Subcommittee, blah, blah, blah. At 2:15, there's going to be a hearing. This is all happening tomorrow. There's going to be a hearing on how to achieve a quote-unquote green global economic recovery at the Senate Foreign Relations Committee. A green global economic recovery. Oh, boy, are we in trouble. Sustainable development on steroids, folks. Communitarian law coming on it and at it. All right, back onto it again. Wednesday, May the 20th. I mean, we're talking about the Washington events calendar here. On Wednesday, May the 20th, Treasury Secretary Timmy Geithner updates lawmakers on the government's troubled asset relief program at the Senate Banking, Housing, and Urban Affairs Committee. You can be sure there will be at least one YouTube video on that one, I hope. At 10 a.m., the Securities and Exchange Commission is going to consider rule to change the federal proxy rules to facilitate director nominations by shareholders at the SEC headquarters. And then they're going to have pizza. And then they'll still try to figure out where the trillions of dollars went. Anyway, continuing along, the minutes of the Federal Open Market Committee April 29 meeting is going to be released on Wednesday also. Former pension benefit guarantees. Oh, my. Well, they're going to have a busy day on Wednesday. Thursday, 8:30 a.m., the initial jobless claims will come out at the Labor Department, and the leading indicators for April will come out at the Conference Board, so we can see that in the news. Watch for the stocks to gyrate there on Thursday. I'm sure we'll see a decline in gold on Thursday and an increase on the stocks when they come out and say that not as many people were jobless as they thought, and so everything will go up. On Friday, in a time to be announced, Barry the Usurper is going to deliver his commencement address at the U.S. Naval Academy graduation in Annapolis, Maryland. Now, if all of those young naval students are graduating away and they do the right thing, we should probably hear some reports sometime Friday afternoon that Barry the Usurper has been hung from hemp rope from the yardarm, but that probably won't happen. On Friday, May the 22nd, also at 2 p.m., the Fed chairman, Benjamin Bernanke, addresses the Boston College Law School graduation in Boston, so perhaps we'll hear something from that as well. In a bigger news and more important information, this is off Bloomberg. Gasoline ending its biggest rally in a decade as the driving season opens. All across the world, folks, all around the world, northern hemisphere, southern hemisphere, all around the world, everyone is hoping that the American people feel giddy and restless and jump in their automobiles and go off and about and drive around and uselessly going in circles and spending money everywhere, stopping at Dairy Queen and McDonald's and stopping at the mall and spending and spending and spending, doing things that Americans are supposed to do. Of course, no one has any money to do that. But nevertheless, gasoline ending its biggest rally in a decade as the driving season opens. Let's find out about it, Barbara Powell. May 18th, Bloomberg. Hey, we'll have to pick that up on the other side. Stay right with us. It's driving me crazy. How about you? We'll be right back.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate control clock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over two decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
And we've returned once again right here on Become Vocal Local, starting in on an article here from Bloomberg in regards to the gasoline. And you might just kind of look at the way that this thing starts off. Gasoline's biggest springtime rally in more than a decade may be ending before U.S. motorists start hitting the road as vacation season begins and demand peaks. We always follow that word demand. You know, I believe the demand drives sustainable development. Nevertheless, thinking of it as gasoline's biggest springtime rally as the prices go up higher and higher and higher, as if that should be a good thing. It's certainly not to me, certainly not to the people that use gasoline and diesel in their trade or business or running their farms, etc. But nevertheless, gasoline's biggest springtime rally in more than a decade. I remember when gasoline was going up rapidly just a few years back, and it certainly wasn't 10 years ago. I can hardly think that this is a bigger rally. Nevertheless, as we see these prices go up, crude right now standing at $57.73, up $1.39 so far in morning trading. We're heading back into the $60 range, and from the $60 range, it's just a short jump to $80. But they're forecasting different things. Let's see what the article says. Gasoline futures will average $1.40 a gallon during the summer, a 17% decline from May. According to surveys of five analysts by Bloomberg, refiners are finishing seasonal shutdowns to increase production just as the global recession reduces oil demand by the most since 1981, and U.S. imports rise. Lots revealed in there. Lots revealed. Refiners are finishing their seasonal shutdowns to increase production. Now, how do you shut down and increase production? Just as the global recession reduces oil demand by the most since 1981, and U.S. imports rise. So we're shutting down production. We're importing more. And all of that has something to do with why this price keeps going up. Let's go into it further. Bets, in other words, betting, you know, you can just see them. They got their army blanket spread tight across the cot, and everybody's sitting around shaking, rolling the dice, you know. Seven come 11, come on, mama. Bets that gasoline will fall below $1.40 by May the 26th have risen almost tenfold. Of course, $1.40 is not a price that you're going to see. That's the retail price, that's the wholesale price, have risen almost tenfold in a month on the New York Mercantile Exchange. While a drop would hurt profits at Valero Energy Corporation and ConocoPhillips, the two biggest U.S. refiners, Valero, have you heard of that before, U.S. Valero, the two biggest refiners, it would do little to help the consumer. Always, naturally, you can expect that. You know that's going to come in there and bite you in the bottom. The Energy Department forecasts pump prices of $2.21 a gallon on average this summer. Little change from today. Of course, you go, oh, wow, that's great. What a bonus. What a blessing. What a benefit. Only $2.21 a gallon. Last year, it was like $4. Yeah. But it's been much lower than that in the past. Anyway, let's continue here. We're in the final throes of the spring gasoline rally, said Tom Knight, the trading director at Truman Arnold Co.'s, a distributor in Texarkana, Texas. I know where that place is. Probably you do, too. That sells almost 100 million gallons of oil products a month to the government, industrial users, and retailers. They don't sell it to us. They sell it to the government. 100 million gallons of oil products to government. That's a good place where we could cut back. Why don't we get them all a bunch of rickshaws and bicycles for our government employees? That way it would take them a lot longer to come out and hassle us. Maybe they would spend more of their time in their office getting something done. Anyway, continuing along here, with refiners coming out of maintenance, we'll see refinery runs and productions continue to inch higher. So I guess the reason why they're shutting down for seasonal shutdowns, this is the maintenance for the driving season. They tune everything all up and make sure that it runs at the utmost of performance. Gasoline rose 112% from its December 24 low, compared with an average springtime gain of 80% during the past decade. This year's advance, the biggest among the main exchange-traded commodities, was helped by a 26% increase in crude oil and refinery shutdowns at San Antonio-based Valero and Paris-based Total SA, Total Gas, and Valero, San Antonio-based Valero. Now, if we report the crude oil all every day, you know, and we also talk about gold and silver and things like that, But they've had a 26% increase in crude oil and refinery shutdowns this year. But gasoline rose 112% from its December 24th low. So we might be saying, well, why are we not reporting more about investing in gasoline and energy stocks? Well, that's because it's dollar denominated. But it's also because it's not you gold. Anyway, last year, gasoline futures peaked July the 3rd at a record of $3.51 before plunging 78%. Gasoline for next month settled at $1.68 a gallon on May the 15th on the NYMEX. Open interest on $1.40 put options, which gave the holder the right to sell gasoline at the price, has written to 285 contracts from 29 on April 23rd. So there seems to be quite a move into those contracts. Quite a few people moving there looking to make some money on it, I guess. The option expires the day after Memorial Day. The Memorial Day weekend, which starts May the 23rd, is the traditional start of the summer driving season. Travel will rise 1.5%. AAA, the nation's biggest motoring organization, said May the 12th. The increase will be the first since a 27% gain in 2005. So maybe people are starting to have, they're anticipating that people will have a little bit more money in their pockets. However, we continue to lose hundreds of thousands of jobs each month. It's a slight uptick, said Robert Darbalel, name. I'd hate to grow up with a name like that. I'd hate it, you know, it would be so difficult. Darbalnet. excuse me, Mr. Darbalnet? And he's the chief executive officer of AAA. The bargains and the cheaper gas combined with a stressed out consumer who's ready for a break will trump other concerns. Are you a stressed out consumer ready for a break? Yeah, I'm ready for a break. Somebody please give me a break. Anywho, demand dropped 9.6% in 2008. And I'll testify to that. I just filled up my diesel truck for, I think, the fourth time now in the past about almost 18 months. I'm doing pretty good cutting back my usage. I just refuse to participate. I won't go no place and nowhere, no how, no way, unless I absolutely have to. Demand dropped 9.6% in 2008, extending the total decline from 2005 through 2008 to 28%. That's quite a decline. U.S. gasoline use will rise 0.7% to 9.073 million barrels a day this summer. Can you believe that, folks? 9.073 million barrels a day we're sucking up into our Hupmobiles. As, quote, continuing high unemployment constrains increasing increases in driving activity, close quote. That's right. We've been talking about it. As GM continues to shut off its manufacturing and closing down all its dealers and distribution plants, as Chrysler does the same thing, Chrysler LLC, as all of this trickle-down starts to go through the economy, I think we're going to see the continuing high unemployment, and it's going to kind of constrain increases in driving activity. Go and get them in the pocketbook. But according to the Energy Information Administration of the Department of Energy, the EIA projected 0.2% growth for the full year. That's less than 1% by a long ways. In other words, it's less near flat. Lower demand. Gasoline use contracted 1.2% in the 4 weeks ended May the 8th. From a year earlier, the EIA said the International Energy Agency, that's the EIA or the IEA, I don't know why they go EIA and then go IEA. EIEIO? I don't know. It's all it's just another McDonald's farm to me, folks. We'll be back on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
As America limps on its last leg, a pillar of truth has risen. You're listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at PureBulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at PureBulk.com.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance that helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Now on DVD, my newest documentary film, The Secret Rite, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reeves, and for the almost 2 years, I have researched the secretive right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy. This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations, more secretive than the Bilderberg Group, The Secret Rite Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at secretrightmovie.com. That's www.secretrightmovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And we have returned once again. We're deep into this gasoline article here off of Bloomberg, looking at what's coming out on us and at us, what's coming down the pike. There's a lot of information revealed in this article, so I think we'll just continue through here. Continuing, we see that lower demand. Gasoline use contracted 1.2% in the 4 weeks ended May the 8th from a year earlier. The EIAO said, which was the biggest decline since 1981. Speculation that the worst of the recession is over. We've been hearing this. This is now the new mantra. The worst is over, folks. The worst is over. Don't you believe it. Wait till that inflation freight train comes around the corner and we're caught on the tracks. It's about to run us right over. Speculation, blah, 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 continues. Let's get away from the speculation. Continue on in the article here. It says, since February the 18th, the dollar has depreciated to 1.3495 against the euro from 1.2530. And again, this is that kind of stuff that we've been following, this USDX in our little basket of currencies. But we can see that the value of the dollar is once again going back down. A further drop in the dollar could send gasoline to $1.85 a gallon, Knight said. And remember, that's not your price or my price. That's the wholesale price, I believe. Bottoming economy. A report from the Commerce Department on May the 19th may show that builders broke ground on 2% more houses in April than in March, bringing the annual rate to 520,000 new homes. You talk about optimism. That's optimism. The optimist proclaims that we live in the best of all possible worlds, but the pessimist fears that this is true. And I would have to be a pessimist on that one. With all the houses that are listed around here, even in this very rural southwest southern Missouri spot, there's certainly no room for building new houses. We can't sell the houses that are on the market today. Ask the realtors how they're doing. Anyway, 520,000 new houses, but think about it in the bigger spectrum. There's 114 counties in Missouri. If there were just a few houses built in every one of those counties, you know, you'd start eating up this 520,000 in a hurry. Take that across all 177,000 voting precincts across the nation. We're only talking about one or two new houses being built in each of the various voting precincts. Eats that 520,000 up. That doesn't exactly reflect a buoyant economy. But continuing, the index of leading economic indicators probably climbed 0.8%. Notice they say probably climbed 8%. Figures from the Commerce Board may show. A report from New York-based research group is due on May the 21st, and I gave you that schedule, that calendar, in the beginning of the broadcast. Increasing unemployment in the U.S. will curb demand for fuel, no doubt, said Peyton Feltes, the president of Randolph's Risk Management in Dallas. Every 1% change in unemployment results in a 0.4% to a 0.5% move in gasoline demand, he said. The U.S. jobless rate jumped to 8.9% in April, and may raise to 9.1% this year, according to a Bloomberg survey of 58 economists. Of course, that's a very low and conservative figure of unemployment. It's likely to be far higher than that, especially if you count in all the people who have quit looking for work and people that haven't worked in years and are now underemployed. You know, we can always talk about unemployment, but what about underemployment? In other words, you've got a master's degree in science or something like that, and you're stuffing burritos at Taco Bell. Continuing, as the economy slowed last year and demand for oil declined, the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries, that would be OPEC, that would be another one of these cartels, agreed to cut production by 4.2 million barrels a day. Isn't that good? Let's just go ahead and cut back the production and make sure that there's, you know, always a scarcity. Artificial, well, you know, you gotta maintain the idea of peak oil. Okay, so you maintain the scarcity, that helps to drive the price up, and then the article continues, helping push prices up above $6 a barrel last week, for the first time in 6 months. Oh, really? Well, that's brand new. Yeah. Economy 101, stupid. Prices declined as low as $32.40 on December the 19th from a high of $147.27 on July the 11th last year. Do you remember? $147 a barrel for this stuff. You just pump it right up out of the ground as quick as they can get it out by the hundreds of thousands, millions of barrels a day. It's quite a little bit of money. Refinery rates, just as OPEC reduced output, refiners cut operating rates to 80.27%. There you go. OPEC puts the squeeze, quits pumping the stuff out of the ground. The refiners shut down, you know, by 20%. They're running at 80.27% of capacity on the week of April the 10th, the lowest level in 17 years, excluding periods when hurricanes forced plants to close. Refining margins to turn crude oil into gasoline rose 43% to $14.25 a barrel on May the 15th when the usage rate was 83.7%. It just gets worse. Gasoline output should increase 3.7% this summer. It should. Coulda, woulda, shoulda. Didn't your mother ever teach you no better, son? More than twice the growth in demand as refiners take advantage of wider profit margins, the EIA said. EIEIO. The government anticipates margins about $12.60 a barrel for April through September compared with $8.40 a barrel last year. That's quite a whopping increase in the margin. And refiners will increase their rates to capture the higher returns, no doubt. Chasing margins. As margins rise, refiners have historically boosted production and increased supply, hurting profits, said McIntyre. ConocoPhillips expects to run its refineries in the second quarter in the low 90% range. Instead of building more refineries and putting one in every state, and tapping our own oil reserves and bringing down the oil prices to something we're near free, almost, you know, instead what we do is we go through this process of forced scarcity. That's the problem when you have monopoly capitalists and corporatism running rampant in the country. Anyway, ConocoPhillips, could be worse, could be better. Valero estimates second quarter rates between 82% and 85%. Of capacity. According to company spokesman Bill Day, Valero plans to resume full production at its 190,200 barrel a day Delaware refinery this month, returning about 11% of East Coast capacity to service after an unscheduled shutdown that began in March. Valero is expected to earn an adjusted 73 cents a share in the second quarter, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, they're going to make money. Both imports and increased ethanol blending with gasoline will boost supply. See, we're always going to the import, and then we're, you know, adulterating the gasoline with ethanol, probably made out of, most likely made out of genetically modified Monsanto corn. Mixing ethanol. I don't want any ethanol in my automobile, please. Don't want any ethanol in my chainsaws, please. Don't want any ethanol in my riding lawnmower and push mowers or any of the other gas-powered stuff, you know, that I've got. I'd like to have some gasoline, please. Is there a place where I can line up to get gasoline? You know, gasoline. The amount of conventional gasoline blended with ethanol rose 27% during the week ended May the 8th. I'm sorry, but my 61 Chevrolet 265 just does not do as well on ethanol as it does on gasoline. Is there going to be any high test this year? No. Ethanol for June delivery settled at $1.68 a gallon, blah, 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 Chicago Board of Trade. Refiners also receive a 45-cent a gallon tax credit for each gallon of ethanol they blend with gasoline. You like that? So not only are we forced to accept this stuff, but then they're also getting tax credits to do that, to adult our gasoline. I don't like it. Do you? Europe will export to the U.S. as much gasoline as the U.S. will take, said Andrew Reed, an analyst with Energy Security Analysis in Wakefield, Massachusetts. Regardless of price, they'll be looking to unload in the U.S. Well, unload your gasoline in Europe. How about a little bit of Arctic oil for me, thank you? We've got more than we can use in 200 years. Why are we importing it from Europe? Well, we'll find out more about that in a moment. Anyway, in addition to the flow from Europe, new refineries in Asia will be looking for customers. Why don't we have some new refineries in America? Huh? Boy, set me off to the right start. Maybe I should have another cup of coffee. India's Reliance Industries Limited in December started a 580,000 barrel a day refinery in Jamnagar with plans to export gasoline to the United States. How about a new refinery in Kansas City? How about another one over in Springfield? How about another one up in St. Louis? And let's cut off our dependency on foreign oil, please. Thank you. Do we have any leadership? Reliance and other new refineries will lead to a surplus of gasoline in Asia, and they will have to find new markets. Seems to me that the people in Asia are not having any problems refining gasoline and extracting oil. Why don't we follow their lead and get out of this nightmare? Anyway, on the other side, we'll come back and we'll look into anarchism. Stay with us.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At hempusa.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At hempusa.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from hempusa.org.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
And we've returned. Let's go back into this a little bit now. We're going to go back and resume our study. That's so much for the news today. Nice to have the opportunity looking at the news, but at the same time, that gasoline report had enough information in there to let you know that we're just being played like fools. Let's find out why we're being played like fools before we go deep into the anarchy study again. Touch base a little bit more from the history of a world, Western civilizations. Our author, Edward McNall Burns, this out of a section, chapter 18, the commercial revolution, the new society. This is 1400 to 1700 AD. Here's a quote, started off, "Although a kingdom may be enriched by gifts received or by purchases taken from some other nations, yet these are things uncertain and of small consideration when they happen. The ordinary means, therefore, to increase our wealth and treasure is by foreign trade, wherein we must ever observe this rule, to sell more to strangers yearly than we consume of theirs in value." That was by Thomas Munn, England's treasurer of foreign trade, and it's spelled F-O-R-R-A-I-G-N. And I can tell you that it was written a long time ago. Now, you would think that if we had the wisdom of Thomas Munn anywhere near Washington, the District of Criminals, that we would understand that we must ever observe this simple rule, to sell more to strangers yearly than we consume of theirs in value. But we're not doing that. No, not at all. So what we're basically doing is we're allowing ourselves to become the global dumping ground for everybody else's wisdom, and we just proceed in folly. Of course, we know that it's all by design. Here's a little bit more. And we're talking about this commercial revolution. We heard about the Industrial Revolution. That's going to follow the Commercial Revolution. But beginning back around 1400 AD, we started to go into this Commercial Revolution, and it's quite an interesting segment in our studies. I'm not going to cover all of it today, just a bit. The causes which led to the beginning of the Commercial Revolution about 1400 are none too clear. Largely because there was little being written down at that time period. There was the Oriental despotism that had become modern Christianity that had become basically a clampdown or a lockdown of the minds of most people as they were ruled by, as they were by the priesthoods. But continuing, this arises from the fact that the initial stage of the movement was more gradual than is commonly supposed. In other words, it wasn't just a light switch. You didn't all of a sudden wake up one day and have the commercial revolution. We did fairly well wake up one day and have the industrial revolution happening, though, and it came on us quickly. But the commercial revolution was slower than that. Insofar as it is possible to isolate particular causes, the following may be said to have been basic. One, the capture of a monopoly of Mediterranean trade by the Italian cities. Now, you know, in 1492, Cristobal Colombo sailed the ocean blue and all that story. Well, this is before that. This was before that, and we're going to find out why in a moment. But the capture of the monopoly of Mediterranean trade by the Italian cities, that'd be Venice, Florence, and the others in there. I mean, we're talking about the Medicis, the Borgia popes and others. The capture of the monopoly of Mediterranean trade. The development of a profitable commerce between the Italian cities and the merchants of the Hanseatic League in Northern Europe. In other words, there was trade going all around and around and around on the coastlines, all around the Mediterranean, the shores of that great inland sea that opens out to the Atlantic through the Straits of Gibraltar, if you're not familiar with the map. But then there was this profitable development of commerce between the Italian cities and the merchants of the Hanseatic League in the Northern Europe. Those are overland routes from the ports up to Germany and elsewhere, inland points, all points inland and northward out of Italy. Three, the introduction of coins of general circulation, such as the ducat of Venice and the florin of Florence, the ducat and the florin. Four, the accumulation of surplus capital in trading, shipping, and mining ventures. Five, the demand for war materials and in the encouragement given by the new monarchs to develop commerce in order to create more taxable wealth. Very important. The beginning of the rise of statism. The encouragement given by the new monarchs to the development of commerce. Why? In order to create more taxable wealth. You can see that economic development is a double-edged sword. Here's six. The desire for the products of the Far East, stimulated by the reports of travelers, especially the fascinating account of the wealth of China published by Marco Polo upon his return from a trip to that country toward the end of the 13th century. This combination of factors gave to the men of the early Renaissance new visions of riches and power and furnished them with some of the equipment necessary for an expansion of business. Henceforth, they were bound to be dissatisfied with the restricted ideal of the medieval guilds with its ban upon trading for unlimited profit. Now, you haven't had the opportunity here because I haven't given it to you, but maybe some of you studied this. But we left off back in the close of the chapter on the Hebrews. But here now, I've raced ahead 1,400 years. We'll cover some more of the information that lies between the Hebrews and the commercial revolution, but we really want to talk about anarchism today. We're just laying down the framework here that brings us more into the modern time so we can start to see some of these various and sundry. Actually, it was a transformation from a static economy to a dynamic economy. That would be a rapid way of saying it. But the commercial revolution would never have attained its far-reaching extent had it not been for the voyages of overseas discovery, which began in the 15th century, of course, 1492, 1500s. The reasons why these voyages were undertaken are not hard to perceive. They were due primarily to Spanish and Portuguese ambitions for a share in the trade with the Orient. Okay, so they didn't have the lockup on some of these overland routes, and they were looking at travel around Africa to get to the Orient. For some time, this trade had been monopolized by the Italian cities, with the consequence that the people of the Iberian Peninsula were compelled to pay high prices for the silks, the perfumes, the spices, and the tapestries imported from the East. and they were imported overland from the east, and then they were shipped across the Mediterranean into Italy, and then sent north to the Hanseatic League, hence the merchants of Venice making a killing on this. It was therefore quite natural that attempts should be made by the Spanish and the Portuguese merchants to discover a new route to the Orient independent of Italian control. A second cause of the voyages of discovery was the missionary fervor of the Spaniards. Their successful crusade against the Moors had generated a surplus of religious zeal, which spilled over into a desire to convert the heathen. To these causes should be added the fact that advances in geographical knowledge and, note this now, the introduction of the compass and the astrolabe gave mariners more courage to venture into the open sea. You can imagine going out on the ocean without a compass, without a, you know, good watch, and without an astrolabe. Of course, you might not know what an astrolabe is. Without a sextant in modern terminology, with no real way to figure out what's going on in the heavens. You don't know, can't verify whether you're going south or east or west. Well, you can't drop an anchor in the middle of the ocean. You can't run to land just because it's getting dark every night. And yet your ship is still making full advantage of the wind. So without a compass and an astrolabe, things would be a little bit grim for a mariner. And as a result, there was very little travel until these little inventions came along. It's kind of like, well, now I've got a GPS unit. Well, the sky's the limit. Anywhere I want, right? But the effect of these things must not be exaggerated. The popular idea that all Europeans before Columbus believed that the earth was flat is simply not true. From the 12th century on, it would be almost impossible to find an educated man who did not accept the fact that the earth is a sphere, although they kept it quite quiet. It's one of those mystery religions, you know. Having enough intelligence to recognize that this is a globe. Here's a little sidebar on the astrolabe. The astrolabe is a device for measuring the altitude or the position of heavenly bodies. It was invented by the Hellenistic astronomers and perfected by the Saracens, especially useful in determining locations at sea, and it has subsequently been replaced by the sextant. Anyway, we'll pick it up on the other side. This is the end of the first hour. We'll be back to begin the second hour in just a few minutes. Stay with us.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products, including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at DebtCrisisSolutions.com. That's DebtCrisisSolutions.com today.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
As globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local. Blocking the globalist agenda right where we are, in our towns, cities, counties, and states. And now, here is that nemesis of globalism, your host, William Roberts.
Ian, welcome back to our Monday, May the 18th, 2009, two-hour broadcast to Become Vocal Local. We come to you Monday through Friday here on the Oracle Broadcasting Network, on the web at oraclebroadcasting.com. Visit that website, take a good look at it. All kinds of things to do on the, if you go to the homepage, look on the left, there's a long list of options, lots of fun things that you can do on this website to maximize your listening experience. My name is William Roberts, and once again, as I like to say, I've got good news, hard facts, and workable solutions for you today. In the first hour, we talked about the market news. We looked at the increases likely to come upon us as we go into the summer driving season. Looked at the calendar of the various and sundry meetings that are coming out of Washington this week that are going to impact the markets. Found that gold was trading off $1.70 at $929.70 this morning in early trading. But that's spot on top of the London Gold Fix at $929.75. So I suppose you could either get your news from point A or point B. They fix the price of gold every day in the morning and in the afternoon in London, the gold cartel. And then the traders come in and around it. But, you know, it's going to stay pretty close to that, I think. Generally, we'll see where it closes today. Anyway, we just started into a little bit of an understanding of the commercial revolution from 1400 to 1700. We're going to go into that a little bit more, and then we're going to go into our study of anarchism. This all works together. It's difficult to look at the world around us today as if we have blinders on and not understand that so much of what we see today is just a repetition of what's happened in the past. Of course, you can never plan the future by the past, as Edmund Burke said. It's just not one of the things that is wise. We don't need to repeat errors that have been made in the past, however. And so we can look into the future. I like to think of a future that's ever more and more greater measures of freedom and less tyranny and despotic control. But we're going to need to understand something about the world that we live in and what drives it. If we're going to hope to come up with a replacement set and a solution set, if you will, for the 21st century, one that doesn't include the global madness that we find ourselves being submerged or subsumed beneath. So, all that aside, let's go back to our study a little bit and continue further. It's kind of interesting because if we think about this, these very simple little things, like compasses and astrolabes and sextants and watches, these small instruments have the opportunity to change institutions. And there has been considerable change as a result of these. But let's find out more about it. Furthermore, the compass and the astrolabe were known in Europe long before any mariners ever dreamed of sailing the Atlantic, with the exception of the Norsemen. The compass was brought in by the Muslims in the 12th century, probably from China. Oh, boy. Go figure on that one, huh? The Muslims are having to deal with the same thing we're dealing with. All these products coming from China. Gunpowder, compasses, wristwatches. Anyway, maybe we should listen to the Chinese from time to time. The astrolabe was introduced even earlier. An astrolabe is very ancient, really. But a Muslim astrolabe is shown here in a picture in this book, 13th century, invented by the Hellenistic astronomers. The astrolabe was perfected by the Saracens. It became available to European navigators by the beginning of the commercial revolution. And it's a beautiful, wonderful piece of work. It's basically just a dial in a dial, and you rotate things around, and you find out all of the stars that are up above in your heavenly bodies, and then you can guide yourself from that. Anywho, let's drop down quite a bit. Actually, what we need to do and understand all of this is, you know, you could ask, well, what has all this got to do with the high price of tea in China? Well, it really wasn't the high price of tea in China that this has to do with it. It was the high price of tea in London and in Germany. And bringing down the price of tea was the goal here because there was profits to be made. And that's kind of what drove the people around the Horn of Africa. Anyway, we'll be right back. Stay with us.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate-controlled flock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home for the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skin care, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at PureBulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at PureBulk.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
Okay, so if we can understand then that this high price of tea in China thing, or the, really you should say the low price of tea in China and the high price of tea in Venice, really was partly a part of driving this situation that we're getting into here, this the beginning of the commercial revolution. And it's important to us because of the downline or the rest of the story, if you will, the page two of all of this. And so we see that except the Norsemen, who discovered America around 1000 AD, we really ought to call it Norse America, as opposed to North America, or just Norseland, more like they did Vinland. The pioneers, the true pioneers in oceanic voyage, at least in the modern time period that we know of, recorded history, were the Portuguese. By the middle of the 15th century, they discovered and settled the islands of Madeira and the Azores, and it explored the African coast as far south as Guinea. In 1497, their most successful navigator, Vasco da Gama, rounded the tip of Africa and sailed on the next year to India. In the meantime, the Genoese mariner, Cristobal Colom, became convinced of the feasibility of reaching India by sailing west. I think really it was Bartholomew, his brother, had the maps, had a little navigation shop, a nautical shop, had all the tools, the instruments, had the astrolabes probably, compasses and so on and so forth, kind of just talked to his brother Christie into manning the helm. About all that he really needed to conquer, really, or master, was his fear of sailing off the edge. But of course, as we've said, most intelligent people, even though they kept it to themselves, knew full well the earth was round. So if there was just some idea that there was a landmass that they could sail to by heading out of England and going into the Atlantic Ocean and continuing west and following the sun, which wouldn't have been of itself that difficult. But anyway, imagine in a little caravel the size that they were in, a small ship, the Nini and the Pini and the Santa Maria, I don't know what they were in anyway. I don't think anybody really does. But they call them a caravel. The caravel was another one of these inventions that no one really wants to talk about. But the caravel was a tremendous improvement in rigging. The caravel, a small wooden sailing ship, was actually able to sail into the wind and make headway, as opposed to just endlessly tacking back and forth, losing ground with the wind. But anyway, so we've got this thing going on. And Cristobal here, Cristobal's Colombo, he was convinced of the feasibility of reaching India. And you all know the story, but anyway, he continues, dropping down even further. The voyages of John Cabot and his son Sebastian in 1497-98 provided the basis for the English claims to North America, though there was nothing that could be called a British Empire in the New World until after the settlement of Virginia in 1607. So you see, it was 100 years longer before things really started to pick up the pace here. Dropping down further, but the most valuable possessions of the Dutch were Malacca, the Spice Islands, and the ports of India and Africa, taken from Portugal in the early 17th century. Things are starting to build up now. The results of these voyages of discovery and the founding of colonial empires were almost incalculable. You see, this idea of becoming self-sufficient has been pervasive for a long time. And it wasn't just Adolf Hitler desiring to have more agricultural land to out of Poland and all points east, including Mother Russia, for his people, and he was also looking at Africa for the same reason. This idea of becoming self-sufficient is borne up in this, unfortunately, on this planet, by the shortages that are in the various continents. We get some parts of our all of the things that we make out of steel, for instance, are dependent upon minerals that we get from Africa and other things. You know, you got your hand of bananas that you bring home all the time from the tropical countries and so on. Rubber from Africa, and rubber tree plant. You got a rubber tree plant that can grow in, what, Iowa? I don't think so. So we get this idea of self-sufficiency. What we can look towards is self-reliance. That is a possibility. We can be reliant on our own produces, but typically self-sufficiency is what drove everybody to go colonizing, and that's what happened. And so, continuing and dropping down further, probably the most significant result of the discovery and conquest of lands overseas, and here's the key, was the expansion of the supply of precious metals. When Columbus, arguably, discovered Cuba, it is estimated that the amount of gold and silver in circulation in Europe was not over $400 million worth. And I don't know if that must be 1940 dollars. By 1600, the volume of precious metals in Europe had reached about five times this amount. Some of it was plundered by the Spaniards from the treasuries of the Incas and the Aztecs, but most of it came from mines in Mexico, Bolivia, and Peru. The effects of this phenomenal increase of the supply of bullion can only be described as momentous. No, excuse me, no other cause was so fully responsible for the growth of the capitalistic economy. Men now possessed wealth in a form which could be conveniently stored for future use, and we need scarcely be reminded that the accumulation of wealth for future investment at a profit is an essential feature of capitalism. Moreover, as gold and silver came to be used primarily as tokens of commodities, and not as commodities themselves, the medieval idea of trade as an equal exchange was broken down. In place of this ideal, there was substituted the modern conception of business for profit. You see how things change. A little bit of careful reading and studying, and we can start to understand how these things developed. Finally, the rapid inflow of precious metals encouraged speculation. The value of gold and silver fluctuated widely as new deposits were discovered, or as hopes of rich yields were shattered. These fluctuations affected the prices of commodities, with the result that merchants and bankers were tempted to gamble on future trends. Now, from here it just gets worse. or better, but worse. This is the beginning of this money economy that has led us into this specious foolishness that we're seeing going on today. And so it was out of all of this, then, that we see this continuing development of this anarchist spirit. Let's go back and pick up where we left off. Yes, Friday? Today's Monday? Yeah, must have been Friday then. Go back and pick up where we left off on Friday. We started in talking a little bit about Proudhon. It's Proud Han, or Proud Man. Proud Han. The first man who made anarchism a conscious mass movement was Proudhon. It was even asserted that he was the first to use the word anarchism in our modern sense, but the recent studies of Netla have demonstrated that the term was already in use in present meaning in the middle of the 18th century. Of course, we've tracked this all the way back to Bible times in the scriptures, the words of Jesus in Mark. But we'll pick it up right there. In one of his early works, What is Property? Again, this is a repetition of just a little brief paragraph here. In one of his early works, What is Property? Proudhon answered the question with a slogan which became famous: property is theft. This led to a good deal of misinterpretation, but he was in reality an ardent supporter of private property, quote-unquote, and again he wrote, property is freedom. So it's difficult to say that property is theft and property is freedom in the same speech, but he did. So we have to figure out what it is that he's really opposed to. We'll pick it up on the other side. Stay with us.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
Documentary film, The Secret Rite, Volume 1. I'm Josh Reeves, and for almost 2 years, I have researched the secretive right-wing group known as the Council for National Policy. This film explores for the first time the hidden hand that controls the religious and military aims of the American right wing, with such topics as Iran-Contra, the John Birch Society, eugenics, the Vatican controllers, Christian Zionists, the Bohemian Grove, the Patriot Movement, and more. More powerful than the Council on Foreign Relations, more secretive than the Bilderberg Group, The Secret Rite Volume 1 goes where no other film has dared to go. Get your copy today at secretrightmovie.com. That's www.secretrightmovie.com. And find out what you haven't been told about the New World Order.
Aerial spray, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
Okay, so we are back. So once again, we're talking about anarchy, anarchism. I think we're up like 16 or 17 sessions so far in this discussion. But it's so relative to the things that we're talking about today, as everybody's starting to say, we got to get rid of the government. I think really it's the rise of statism, but government's going to be with us. We'll have to find out more about it. But the anarchist and the anarchy spirit has been with us a long time. People have been desirous of anarch, no leader, for a long, long time. Got a little sick and tired of these archons running our lives on this planet. I like to think of the planet Earth as a vacation planet, and these archons are constantly trying, these archists are always trying to spoil our vacation. Let's continue here. His anarchy was not a contempt of laws, but an almost religious attachment to eternal laws. This is the laws of nature, and nature's God again. And he attacked only usurpation and monopoly. So this is the anti-monopoly party. And these usurpers, Barry the Usurper, we spoke about this last week on Friday. He believed not in a mass revolution, but in a cellular revolution, the economic and moral emancipation of the individual. So, like me, he's also looking inside and he's saying, hey, look, folks, we need to do something about us, too, in all of this. And we get the government that we deserve because we are the government. It's out of our own moral and ethical and intellectual development or retardation that our society rises. And so what we're seeing in government now is this idea that Leo Strauss and the neocons advanced about a city of speech, or a city only in speech. It's a GD piece of paper, not a constitution, and a city of crime. And you can see, well, trillions go missing and nobody has time to figure out why or where or who. Or how? A city of speech and a city of crime. That goes back to Niccolo Machiavelli and others. Continuing, he believed not in a mass revolution again, but in a cellular revolution, the economic and immoral and moral emancipation of the individual. Proudhon did not attack capital. We see where the beginning of capital is. We can go back to the beginning of the commercial revolution and find it there. He did not attack capital, but only its power to exploit the workers. He saw the real evil of capitalistic society in the sphere of the distribution rather than in production, and advocated as the fundamental institution of a new order, a special type of credit organization, the so-called Bank of Exchange, and we'll see more about that. He was convinced that the gratuitousness of credit, free credit, zero credit, and the zero interest rate credit, and we're almost there now. He was convinced that the gratuitousness of credit and the strict mutuality of service provided by this institution would lead to the establishment of free associations of individuals having the same interests and organized on an entirely voluntary basis. We've heard about that voluntary society, barter exchange, going back into feudalism again, as we all become serfs on the manors of the nobles once again. The Knights of Malta. Oh, well, I shouldn't go there yet. Only such associations could eliminate the capitalist economic order and the exploiting state. Well, the state is absolutely important in this. Remember, we talk about the rise of statism. It's not the government, it's state. Government, state, government, state. Two different words, government, state, nation. Three different words, different meanings. But in the rise of statism, the state has arrogated unto itself all of the natural law, returned as codified, statutory, regulated privileges, licensable, taxable, and revocable. Why? Because as we saw, the goal there at the beginning of the commercial revolution was to generate economic development everywhere so that there was greater taxable wealth. That way that the kings and the governments and the states make more money off your back. And mine. Continuing, in one of his later books, that again, Proudhon, he admitted that a total elimination of the state could not be achieved in any conceivable future. As I've said before, no matter how long, no matter how deep, no matter how wide the economic recession, depression, deflation, inflation, whatever you want to call it, goes, on the other side, I could almost guarantee you there will be a continuance of government and likely the state. Especially if we do nothing and just weather the storm, come out the other side with exactly the same kind of government that created the problem. Anyway. He admitted that a total elimination of the state could not be achieved in any conceivable future. He couldn't conceive it, but I can. And that the main claim of anarchism, therefore, should be restricted to the reduction of the compulsory functions of the state as far as possible by a growing decentralization and by a fostering of independent group life. And once again, I've got to call to your attention the fact that we are basically light years behind the Master Blasters, and they are so far ahead of us that they've covered a lot of the bases. But years ago, back in 2004, 2005, when I discovered more about the Tavistock Institute and went into the Smith Institute and found a book there on localism, and I could see that what they were doing is that they were beginning to advance in their consultancies this idea of localism again. And when you go back and study, and we've done it before and I'll do it again, when you study localism, then you can understand that this decentralization is this plan, this global feudalism that F.A. Hayek wrote about in his book, The Road to Serfdom. It's also this global feudalism that was basically part of Auguste Comte's positive polity and his positive philosophy. We should be aware of that. Things we can be paying attention to. As I like to say, as globalism transitions from global to local, we become vocal local, blocking the globalist agenda right where we are in our towns, our cities, our counties, and our states, because we realize that the change agent's use of localism is not what you or I are thinking about when we think about, like Proudhon, a growing decentralization, and by fostering an independent group life. Why, in places, I think even in Australia, they're already well away, you know, along the line of getting rid of the county government, and here in the United States too. And the further the inroads of the federal controllers come in, they want to take away all of these local governments, and then they'll just put up fiefdoms, and they'll run it all out of the computer bank in Washington, D.C. Anyway, the influence of Proudhon was very great. The fact that the Marxist socialism did not acquire the same influence in France as in Germany and Central Europe is to a large extent due to his Gospels. In Germany, Moses Hess and Karl Grun and later Gustav Landauer continued, not without success, the propagation of Proudhon's doctrines. The only kind of socialism and anarchism which seems to have had a genuine influence on the Americans of the older stock was a transplantation of the ideas of Proudhon based on freedom and mutual help. The teachings of Stephen Pearl Andrews, William Green, and Lysander Spooner. Maybe you've been reading their books and you didn't know where they were coming from. Moses Hess, Karl Grun, Gustav Lander, Proudhon, Stephen Pearl Andrews, William Green, Lysander Spooner. Developed along the line of Proudhon, and Benjamin R. Tucker amplified his teaching and had a wide circle of followers. It would be interesting to acquire, our author writes here, whether and how far the engaging personality of Josiah Warren was influenced by the work of Proudhon. Warren was the first publisher of the first anarchist magazine of the world and founded an equity store in Cincinnati, which had a close resemblance to the Exchange Bank of Proudhon. And if you study those both independently in the encyclopedias as I have, you can see the resemblance is very striking. Modern anarchism assumed new tendencies in the pamphlets, speeches, and propaganda of Michael Bakunin, with whom anarchism took a definitely collectivist form. We'll pick up that collectivist Michael Bakunin on the other side of this break. Stay with us.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.
Of the 3 million-plus edible food plants that grow on Earth, no other single plant can compare with the nutritional value of the powder, seeds, and oil of the hemp plant. At HempUSA.org, we ship worldwide these nutritional products with free shipping to the U.S. and Canada. At HempUSA.org, we want to educate our listeners that edible hemp is not marijuana and is certified THC-free. Our powder is 50% protein and does not contain gluten. Gluten impairs the cells from absorbing nutrients. This nutrient-dense food can be stored up to 5 years when vacuum-packed and is priced affordably to be used as a storable food. HempUSA.org is a bulk shipper starting with 5 pounds and up. To allow this food to work for you, call 908-691-2608 or go to HempUSA.org and order today. The body will react and heal itself given the proper nutrition. This superfood will be your greatest asset. So try it today, store it today, and change your life. Call 908-691-2608 or order from HempUSA.org.
The First Amendment in the Bill of Rights limits the government's power by ensuring freedom of speech and preserving the rights of the people. Every day that passes, our rights gradually slip away. It's time to take a stand and let the government know we're tired of losing our rights. LibertyStickers.com will allow you to express your rights and allow millions of people to see you stand up for what you believe in. LibertyStickers.com carries the largest selection of bumper stickers online, ranging from political to humorous, and is your number one source for Ron Paul for President stickers. As always, you can find your favorite stickers that protest the war and the president. Don't see what you're looking for? Liberty Stickers will custom make stickers that will let you get your message across for all Americans to see. Go to LibertyStickers.com and see pre-made stickers that will get everyone talking. That's LibertyStickers.com or call 877-873-9626. Liberty Stickers, the world's most dangerous stickers.
Amazon.com has become a leader in online retail and is a place where people can find and discover virtually anything they want to buy. Amazon offers thousands of products including
books, movies, and music,
full range of electronics,
computer and office,
sports and outdoors,
dry storable and organic foods,
health and wellness,
survival and tactical gear,
home and garden, and much more.
Amazon not only offers over 10,000 online products, but also operates retail websites and offers programs that enable you to sell your products online.
By making your purchases through Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com, a portion of each purchase goes to the Oracle Broadcasting Network.
Find great prices on hard-to-find items and help support Oracle Broadcasting at the same time. That website again is Amazon.OracleBroadcasting.com.
This is Become Vocal Local with your host, William Roberts.
And so we have returned once again here at the bottom of the hour. Again, the call-in number is 866-841-1065. If you got something on your mind, want to get it off your chest, jump on the line. Certainly, calls are welcome. Going back in, we're looking at Michael Bakunin, Modern Anarchism, coming a little bit more modern. Remember that we're working out of the Encyclopedia of the Social Sciences, written largely for the idea of the Hochschule for Politik. Many of the contributors to these encyclopedias are where the best minds that the Rockefellers and the Carnegies could pull together at the time to build the Brain Trust, which would later be known as Der Führer's Professors. This is powerful material, very well researched, very well written, with an intent to provide the replacement set for the Third Reich's political structure. And so this information is not only timely, but it's also useful in that it has also just about been vacuumed up out of America. Continuing, Bakunin's system was based on a threefold foundation. I need to go back. Modern anarchism assumed new tendencies in the pamphlets, speeches, and propaganda of Mikhail Bakunin, with whom anarchism took a definitely collectivist form. He approved common ownership in land and another means of production, but he retained private ownership in consumption goods. You could own your loaf of bread and your shoes. And repudiated emphatically the state socialism of Marx. Bakunin's system was based on a threefold foundation. Now, here they are. Listen carefully. Anarchism, number one. 2, atheism, and 3, free cooperation of independent groups. Now, you can understand that oftentimes when we talk about atheists and agnostics, having started our study where we did and done so intentionally, so that we could wrap our minds around this morphology that became religions, it's not too difficult for those who have studied carefully history to come to these kind of atheistic or agnostic viewpoints, repudiating established religions, but it is very difficult for anyone, just as it was during the commercial revolution, very difficult for anyone to accept that the earth was round instead of flat, you know, and they could go along with Copernicus and Galileo. It is round. It does move. Ah. Well, they knew it for a long time, but, you know, the Hebrews were convinced that the earth was flat and peas on a plate, and that, you know, Jerusalem, Salem, the box of rocks on the Mediterranean, on the Dead Sea, was the center of the universe. That's the kind of ignorance and arrogance their God led them into, kind of one era after the next, nevertheless. Having studied the history carefully, we can understand perhaps a little bit of the rejection and the disappointment with Bakunin and many others with religions. So he has this threefold foundation, anarchism, atheism, and free cooperation of independent groups. And this anarchism we'd have to define further, not necessarily a rejection of government, but certainly a rejection of statism. Not the conquest, but the destruction of the state was the chief aim of his collectivist anarchism. The destruction of the state, in other words, the reversal of the rise of statism, where the state basically came into existence in this prior to this commercial revolution. I mean, there's so much that we can go into in all of this. But the idea of the merchants and the artisans working together with the entrepreneurs and the bankers of Venice, Flores, the Medicis, and other families, the Italian banking community, and the Jews and the Muslims, all working together, coming to this point where they were going to bring low all of the various lords, the knights, and raise up strong men in the forms of absolute monarchs and despots, working in tandem with the bankers and the commerce, so that the governments would protect and develop this new middle class that was emerging, and bring low the old nobilities, and securing themselves a place in space and time with the idea of divine right and absolute rule and hereditary kingships, and the development of state, the rise of statism, and this new middle class. And in that also came out of, I think it was Iceland that had the first one, the idea of a parliament. And we, the people, the commoners, having a strong voice in government through parliament. But that word parliament is a difficult one as well. It deserves an hour of word study just to unravel that little mystery and how it all came to be. But it's just a shift of power. So when we go back and we say the conquest of the destruction of the state, and we're talking about the elimination of these despotisms, but it's also aimed at the elimination of the middle class. Because the middle class were the capitalist in their time, though what we call middle class today is so lower in the lower echelons of things that they're basically shopkeeps. The middle class today probably starts somewhere in the neighborhood of $150 to $500 million annual income, not $50,000 a year wage earners. They're just slaves, wage slaves. Continuing here, he even repudiated as reactionary but to how to build up his new society, Bakunin never told, and these people generally don't. As we've said before, it's so easy to destroy. Gentlemen, your tools are disorder. From these, you must create order. In order to build, you must first destroy. That goes back to French Revolution time period. He even reputed as reactionary all detailed speculation concerning the future. Only two things were perfectly clear in his conception. One was his deep belief in the instinct of solidarity, which led to the conviction that a mankind liberated from the superstition of God and from the corruption of the state will soon find the optimum form of its organization. And so maybe we need to rethink our think when it comes to religions and proceed much more carefully in the future. At the same time, we need to reevaluate the corruption of the state and look to a future, again, as I like to think of, greater and greater freedom and less despotic control. But I wouldn't consider myself to be an anarchist proper. Thus, 100 years before Bergson, he advocated Bergsonian principles, quote, only life creates, science does not create, but only states, describes the creation of life. Science is a sacrifice of life on the altar of abstraction. The other firm point in his thought was his conviction of the necessity of violence. The revolution, however, according to his point of view, should be a spontaneous work of the masses. And we've seen some traces of these spontaneous works of the masses throughout the Ron Paul revolution, for instance. A spontaneous grassroots effort at the meetup group level, totally independent of and prior to, really, anything formal coming out of Ron Paul's campaign committee. A spontaneous work of the masses and not an instrument of political leaders or of disciplined military forces. But today we can see that that spontaneous grassroots effort, the internet explosion of the meetup groups and all of the Twitter and MySpace and Facebook and all of that, YouTube videos and all of that now has gone from an instrument into an institution, and it has now become part of the parlance and the utility of the established two-party political system, which in my opinion needs to be abolished. Continuing, since political and military domination, he held would inevitably lead to a class dictatorship under an organized oligarchy, that is merely to the formation of another state. And so we don't want to jump out of the frying pan into the fire here. We do clearly need to have a vision of where we are going. We need a map, to use their language, a road map into the 21st century, one we don't have right now. We've got a lot of people going, look at me, look at me. I'm a demigod. And unfortunately, the only suggestions and solutions that they can offer are bullhorns. And it doesn't work. We've seen that. It just wastes a lot of time. Continuing, here's what a semi-mystical doctrine of violence, which is similar to the later teachings of Georges Sorel. Although a man of warm heart, he introduced into his anarchist movement a terroristic conception, which later more and more assumed the body of the system. His compatriot, disciple, and emissary, Nechayev, hard to say these names, transplanted the gospel into Russia, where it found vehement echo in soil already permeated by the propaganda of nihilism. In his revolutionary catechism, Nechayev brought the idea to his master of his master to its fullest fruition. Well, we'll pick it up on the other side, all these Russians and Germans and Frenchmen.
How would you like to finally be debt-free without paying another cent to creditors and not have to file bankruptcy? DebtCrisisSolutions.com can help free you from the debt trap. This is not a debt settlement program which has tax consequences or debt consolidation. With our program, there are no more payments to creditors or collectors. We will help restore your credit history, protect your property, prevent paycheck garnishments, and preserve your bank account. We also provide mortgage modification services which can lower your mortgage payments without refinancing. financing. If you're facing foreclosure or are in the foreclosure process, we can help. Finally, proven debt solutions that work for the people. Become debt-free in 90 days. Doing nothing doesn't make the debt go away. Call Debt Crisis Solutions today and speak to an advisor absolutely free. Call 718-615-0123. That's 718-615-0123. Or visit them online at debtcrisissolutions.com. That's debtcrisissolutions.com today.
Are you one of the people who think, I have plenty of time, nothing's ever going to happen bad to me? Do you believe that when your cupboards are bare, our corporate-controlled government will jump right in to feed you and yours? Do you have at least a year's supply of food for your family? This is Kurt, the armchair survivalist, heard on this network. Survival Enterprises sells real food, canned for long-term storage. Beef, chicken, turkey, bacon, butter, cheese, eggs, freeze-dried fruits and vegetables, Mountain House freeze-dried meals, MREs, a full nutritional line, the British Birkfeld water filter, and more. If you want to prepare now, go to beforeitstoolate.us. That's beforeitstoolate.us. Or call 1-800-753-1981. That's 1-800-753-1981. Or you can put your head in the sand and be just another sheeple in the corporate control clock. But remember, those who don't learn from history are bound to repeat it.
They say that you could travel the world without leaving your home through the pages of a book. Adventures Unlimited brings you all the adventures that you could imagine when you travel through the pages of their books. Adventures Unlimited carries an eclectic diversity of subjects such as alternative health and science, free energy, ancient history, Native American studies, and much, much more. Get away from the daily grind, unwind, and feed your mind to free your mind. Explore any topic you wish at AdventuresUnlimitedPress.com. They're not only an online bookstore, but have stores located around the world and have been in business for over 2 decades. Adventures Unlimited Press, your own world of information is only a page away.
Okay, so we're back again, and so we're looking at these various and sundries again out of Russia and out of France and out of Germany. Lots of different people talking about anarchy and anarchism, and at their time, why wouldn't they? But as long as, you know, we're going to be branded with these kind of labels from places like the Fusion Center, the Missouri Information Analysis Center, a bunch of lapdog lackeys for the Morris Sleaze and his Southern Poverty Defense Group and the Anti-Defamation League of B'nai B'rith and the, you know, all of the rest of these various, the AIPAC and the rest of them, as long as we're going to be branded as anarchists, well, we certainly ought to find out a little bit more about what anarchy is and what is the ism and who are the ismists, if you will. They have something to say. There is a repeating thread in this material that has come down for the thousands of years, as, you know, I like to say that if Jesus be for it, who could be against it? And he was definitely talking anarchs at the time that they were writing the scripture, whether that was written by Saul of Tarsus, the last man standing at Masada after the group suicide, or whoever it was. But anyway, let's continue. It says here that there is no crime or brutality which he did not explicitly recommend for the destruction of our corrupted society. This is this Netchayev. I wonder if he could be related distantly to Emmanuel, Rob Emanuel, maybe. Later, the doctrine became very much rationalized, and in the theories of Kropotkin, Johann Most, Paul Bruce, and others, it found a more utilitarian explanation. They agreed that the terroristic deed, again, this is so important, the terroristic deed, understand that word, it's very important to this understanding, both individual and collective, is of the greatest importance because it arouses the imagination of the passive masses and awakens the hope of those who suffer under the injustices of the present system. And so we hear these terroristic deeds. Now, when that propaganda fails, friends, then the anarchist, if you will, have to change tack. So who has been promoting the majority of the terroristic deeds? Are you and I, we the people, the anarchists? Or could it be perhaps that the ones that really want to destroy the state and turn everything on its head are those anarchists that follow the Neapolitan, the chocolate and vanilla with a red stripe right up his spine, an oh so very red pinko commie red stripe right up his spine, that Barry the Usurper and the boys, the old hippy-dippy weathermen. Maybe that's where we need to go when we look for anarchists in America. Perhaps. The terroristic deed, again. They argued that the terroristic deed, you know, like the London bombing, like the shoot-up they had over there in India, these terroristic deeds. I'll just give you this again. They argued that the terroristic deed, both individual and collective, is of the greatest importance because why? It arouses the imagination of the passive masses and awakens the hope of those who suffer under the injustices of the present system. And now they're talking about having to redevelop or put a new face on capitalism. You see, it works on both sides of the coin, doesn't it? It works both at front in the status, in their camp, and also among the people, largely because they've studied this material too. Since the 80s of the last century, anarchism has assumed a more and more rigid communistic form, probably as a result of the mighty growth of Marxist socialism, which appealed very much to the masses of industrial workers. The National Socialist Workers' Party. Marxist socialism. The leader of this movement was Prince Kropotkin, who regarded as antiquated the former types of anarchism, both individualistic and collectivistic, and pleaded for a complete communism. At the same time, however, he rejected all types of authoritarian communism, holding that the state must be radically eliminated by a popular revolution. On its ruins, the nucleus of the future society will become the free village community. Can you say sustainable development and smart growth? Reorganizing government along the green economic model. Each commune will be an independent economic and administrative organization possessing all the means of production and consumption. Doesn't that sound a little bit like feudalism to you? No system of representation, parenthetically here, an invention of the bourgeois class, close parenthesis, will be necessary under this system. And as I shared with you earlier in the broadcast, this idea of parliamentarianism all came up out of this throwing aside and busting up the guilds and things like that and turn going into this new capitalist system, the rise of the middle class, the overthrow of the existing systems, the beginning of the divine right of kings, the Stuarts, the Tudors, and others. The extreme division of labor, quote, horrible and injurious to society and brutalizing for the individual, close quote, will disappear, giving place to the, quote, integration of labor and production, close quote. Well, the integration of labor and production goes back to the domestics, where the entrepreneur, the capitalist, would work with people out of their own homes. They would have a loom in their own house. And so they would work at home. And I imagine they could sell it to them just the same way as we're getting sold on using our computers to work out of our homes today. Why, you don't even, I'm standing here today in my sweats and my bathrobe and I have a little cap on, my stocking cap. I just clambered out of bed and got dressed for the radio. I've been doing research since 5 this morning, working from home. Why, it's the perfect internet world, isn't it? And this is the same sort of thing. Because when we transitioned from the commercial revolution into the industrial revolution, and we went through the enclosures of Scotland, the Highlands, and enclosures in England and other places, where we forced the people out of their cottages and out of their towns and down into Manchester to work at the spinning mills and the Jennies and everything else, Lanark and New Lanark, and then sent those communist over here, started New Harmony, I think it was, New Freedom, one of the two, or both, the Owenites, Robert Owen, etc. That was a great transformation. Then you had to deal with the foreman. You no longer were able to take advantage of being able to allow your children to help you produce the work at home. Piecework, as it was in those days, in the beginning, before the Industrial Revolution, towards the tail end of the Commercial Revolution. Lots of revolutions, you know. There's a revolution in the air. Be a part of it. No compulsory organization will be necessary for the maintenance of the new order because it will be in perfect accord with moral laws and, quote, free agreements need not be enforced, close quote. Free agreements. No coercion, no compulsion. You're free to choose. Choices do have consequences, however. And if you listen too carefully to some of this communistic thought, you might find yourself basically in a work camp. Among the famous, the followers of Kropotkin was one of the most remarkable geographer, Alexis Reclus. Whereas most representatives of the anarchist thought regarded religion and religious feeling as a chief impediment to the emancipation of mankind, Count Leo Tolstoy, and I guess almost all of this has been a repeat, but I think it's worth going in. It's spaced repetition is so helpful. Having a break of a weekend, it's good to go back and check these out, but you can also go back and listen to these broadcasts again and again to pick up anything that you might find new in each broadcast off the archives. But Count Leo Tolstoy, the Russian poet and philosopher, came to the opposite conclusion. Here's his idea. True religion, as it is embodied in the Gospel of Christ, or Christos, is a complete negation of the state and all its institutions. Now see, here Tolstoy must have understood how to read Greek. He got onto this thread too of the anarchs, the archons. And it's quite true what he just stated there. It refuses to cooperate with the state, which is the very negation of love and is a product of egoism and violence. Tolstoy accepted all the main teachings of anarchism with two reservations. One is the unconditional rejection of communism, which would inevitably lead to a new system of state coercion, which it did, and he was right. The other is the strict repudiation of all kinds of revolutionary action based on violence, right again. Only a spiritual revolution, a perfect moral transformation, can make an end to the present system based on war, oppression, and exploitation. No violent revolution is needed. Well, there you go. We'll pick it up there again tomorrow. Pick it up and continue in this revolution. Folks, I hope you have a wonderful day. Thanks for listening. Until tomorrow, good day.
Taking it back, one precinct, one county, one state at a time. You've been listening to Become Vocal Local.
PureBulk.com has more than 120 nutritional products, super antioxidants, amino acids, and herbal extracts, including advanced life extension nutrition. Find great products like atomic iodine, oil of oregano, spirulina algae, niacin, performance amino acids, herbal extracts, skincare, and heart health nutrition. PureBulk.com products have no fillers, no additives, no hype, and no fancy retail packaging. Just the highest quality bulk nutrition at wholesale pricing. You can also save 50 to 90% off retail nutritional prices when buying bulk wholesale powders and capsules. Shop securely online at purebulk.com or call 406-251-3270. That number again, 406-251-3270. Use the coupon code iodine and receive a 1 gram atomic iodine sample with any order. That's a 150-day RDA supply of atomic iodine absolutely free. Find out more online at purebulk.com.
Howdy. My name is Chris Milligan, publisher of Trine Day Books. Thomas Jefferson said, information is the currency of democracy. Trine Day brings to you what some don't want you to read today. Dr. Mary's Monk is a book of profound importance. It helps us understand what has really happened in our country. Born to write this story, author Ed Haslam had met Dr. Mary Sherman, whose grisly murder mystery led him first to secret medical labs and then into the wilderlands of the Kennedy assassination. Author Jim Mars calls it an eye-opening ride into government cover-ups. Daniel Estulin's award-winning international bestseller, The True Story of the Bilderberg Group, was hailed by editors at a major New York publisher, but then stopped by higher-ups. After you read this book exposing the secret plans of the world's elite, you'll understand why. Trine Day books are available at bookstores everywhere or by calling 1-800-556-2012.
You are now listening to the Oracle Broadcasting Network, the home of cutting-edge talk radio.